It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being with us. We're continuing this morning with our new series, The Evidence for the Resurrection of Christ. We started it last week, and by a way of introduction, we talked about a few questions last week. And the first one was this: can we prove history? Can we prove history? Things like the existence of George Washington, things like the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I respectfully submitted the answer is no. And again, don't let that mess with your mind too much. The problem is simply with the word prove. That's the problem. I can prove mathematics. I can prove science. But you cannot literally, in the same way, prove history. You just can't do it. It doesn't work that way. And be encouraged, no one can disprove it either. So it's not about proof. If that is the wrong word to use when we talk about such things, what is a better word to use? A better word to use is faith. We talked about two kinds of faith. If I can't prove that George Washington actually existed, then I have faith. The first type of faith is blind faith, where I talked about you cover up your eyes, you don't look at anything, you don't examine anything, you don't do any research of any kind. You just believe. You just believe. And my friends, if you applied that to George Washington, that would be a bit silly. Why? Because there's all of this evidence out there that you are refusing to look at, that you're turning a blind eye to by saying simply, just believe. So that's not the type of faith that will get you to believe in George Washington or in the resurrection of Christ. If someone ever asks you, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? If you say you just have to believe it, I know your intentions and your motives are good. Of course we have faith. But may I suggest again, it is more than blind faith. We have a reasonable faith because we can examine all of this evidence. And we can see where the evidence points. We don't come to the evidence with our own ideas and our own conclusions, but we honestly see where it points. There's so much evidence that George Washington existed, it would be foolish to think otherwise. There's so much evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead as historical fact, it would be foolish to think otherwise. So that is what we're looking at. In this series, we're looking at what is evidence so that we can have a reasonable faith. Our faith can be strengthened in the fact that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The first piece of evidence we looked at last Sunday was early creedal affirmation. Early creedal affirmation. What does that mean? Well, a creed, again, is a statement of belief. Long or short, complex or simple, it's what you believe. That's a creed. And we have creeds about the resurrection of Jesus. Way back to even the time of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes a very simple creed that we believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. It was part of the earliest passionate beliefs of the early church. They believed it from day one. It's what caused them to come together, that Jesus is alive. The resurrection was part of the earliest church creed. If you want to be a skeptic of this evidence, you might say this. You might say the resurrection was added to the creed later on as a myth or a lie, and eventually it became accepted and passionately believed. A skeptic might try to use that to poke holes in this idea. Well, here's the problem. As I mentioned, the earliest church creeds are from 2 to 3 years after the death of Christ. They're very early. The average mythological corruption takes 20 years. In other words, what I mean by that is if a group of people passionately believe something, it's part of their identity. You can't just insert a lie and have people believe that right away. It doesn't work that way. It takes generations for such corruption to occur. There's simply not enough time. From the very beginning of the early creeds of the early church, The resurrection of Christ has always been part of the church belief. It is evidence that we can stand on and we can have our faith grow and be stronger, knowing that there's early creedal affirmation, affirming the reality that the resurrection is true and Jesus is alive. That was last week. Moving on to this week, pretty simple. What is a second piece of evidence for the resurrection? We're going to look at seven total. So today, what is the second of those? And I pray that as we look at it, it'll encourage your faith, knowing that Jesus is alive. Let's pray, and then we'll look at this. So Lord Jesus, thank you that we have evidence of the historical fact that you rose from the dead. Lord, help us to understand this information this morning, and may we use it to strengthen our faith and to boldly proclaim to others that Jesus is alive. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So here we go. What is the second piece of evidence? Well, just like last week, I'm going to let Dr. Bobby Conway get us started. He's the pastor of a large church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's going to introduce the second piece of evidence. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the One Minute Apologist. Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions, to give a defense.
What is the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Another line of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fact that he was executed on a Roman cross. Now you might say, how does the death of Jesus prove the resurrection of Jesus? Well, before you can rise from the dead, it first needs to be established that you have died. And when it comes to this idea of the death of Jesus, one thing that we can find helpful is understanding that archaeology backs up what we see in Scripture. In fact, through archaeological digs, we have a first century crucifixion victim that has been unearthed. And we can see this by looking at the evidence that they have discovered. Not only that, what we'll get is we'll get skeptical people who will say, Jesus didn't die. In fact, Muslims will say Allah would never subject his prophet to such a death. We'll have theories such as the twin brother theory. This is a theory that while Jesus was being crucified there on Golgotha, his long lost twin brother happened to be walking through. And as he was passing by, he saw a mirror image of himself, namely Jesus on the cross. And there he remembered that this is the one who's going about talking about how he's the Messiah. So when Jesus did die, what ended up happening is this person went and announced, I'm alive. I'm alive. Another theory that people end up talking about to say that Jesus never really died is the swoon theory. And this is the idea that Jesus merely passed out in the cross, and then when he was in the tomb, he woke up. Now think about how silly this is. Jesus was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He had to carry a splinter wooden cross. He was exhausted. He was cussed at, spit upon, crown of thorns put upon his head. He had nails driven through his wrist and through his feet, and then he was posted up on the cross, mocked at, a spear stuck in his side. Then he was taken down from the cross, wrapped in 100 pounds of burial clothing. Then he was put inside a tomb, and a stone that weighed 2 to 3 tons was rolled in front of it. And all of a sudden, he revives himself, unrolls himself, and has the strength after all of that to push away the stone and walk away. Well, I think it's easier to believe that he really died than to say that he just passed out. Well, pay attention for the next video as we continue laying out evidence that point to the resurrection.
So this week's piece of evidence for the resurrection of Christ, Dr. Conway mentioned, is this. It is that Jesus was executed on a Roman cross. Again, you have to physically die in order to claim a physical resurrection. So Jesus was executed on a Roman cross. How do we know that Jesus actually died on the cross? And it wasn't one of these other theories that float around out there. May I suggest 3 pieces of evidence for that? The first one, Scripture clearly states that Jesus physically died. In other words, there is no confusion in what the Word of God states about it. There's no ambiguity. There's no symbolism. It is recorded as historical fact. Let me give you some examples. All four Gospels mention that Jesus physically died. Matthew and John say this, Jesus gave up his spirit. That means he died. The other two Gospels, Luke and John, Mark and Luke mention that Jesus breathed his last. That means he physically died. Some other scriptures, in Acts Chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. Romans 8, 34. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised again is at the right hand of God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. On and on, Scripture states very clearly that Jesus physically died. Other passages as well. Acts 2:36, Acts 4:10, Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Galatians 3:1. Over and over, different authors record this as stated fact, that he physically died. Scripture is not vague on this important detail of our Lord Jesus. Here's the second piece of evidence I'd like to share. And not only does Scripture state that he died, but it gives additional evidence that he died. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, we know the Roman soldiers went to the two others on each side of Christ who were being crucified. And because the two others were still alive, as the Passover was about to come, what did the Roman soldiers do? Well, what they did was they broke the legs of the two other gentlemen to speed up their death. Because on a crucifixion, with the nail at your feet, you had to push yourself up to breathe. And then you would collapse. And you would push yourself up to breathe again. You would do that over and over again. If your legs are broken, you can't push yourself up to breathe. And you would die more quickly. So the Roman soldiers broke the legs of the two others being crucified. But according to John 19, verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. These are Roman soldiers who are well experienced in crucifixion. They knew he was dead. Another piece of evidence. One of the soldiers who pierced Jesus' side, what happened when he did that? Scripture says that blood and water flowed out. That is pericardial effusion. What is pericardial effusion? Cardio has to do with your heart. It's the idea that excessive clear fluid builds around your heart. Now, it's normal to have less than an ounce of clear fluid around your heart or lungs. However, when you die a traumatic death, when you die a type of death that the Lord Jesus died from, what happens is this fluid collects more excessively. And instead of less than an ounce around your heart, it can be up to 17 ounces. 17 ounces of this clear fluid that would develop around your heart. So it's no wonder that when the side of Jesus was pierced, not only blood came out, but this clear fluid looking like water came out. You don't have to remember the big name for that, but you have to remember this. It's evidence that he was dead. That does not develop in the living. It develops after a traumatic death. And it's another piece of evidence that the Lord actually died. The Roman centurion who stood in front of Jesus, those are the words in Scripture, he stood in front of Jesus, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. He was. He's not anymore in his eyes. Why? Because he knows he's dead. And then finally, when Pilate later asked the Roman centurion if Jesus had already died, The centurion said, yes. And Pilate released the body to Joseph of Arimathea. So not only does Scripture clearly state that he died, he breathed his last, he gave up his spirit, he was dead. It also gives evidence. His legs were not broken, his side was pierced. What flowed out? The eyewitness testimony of the centurion, that Pilate released his body, and so forth and so on. Jesus physically died on a Roman cross. And then the third piece of information is this. Roman soldiers were experts in executing people by crucifixion. Unfortunately, they were experts in this. There are some examples of how often this was done. Rome crucified thousands and thousands and thousands of people every year. When stomping out political rebellions or uprisings against Rome, they were especially brutal. There was one time when, stomping down on an uprising, the Roman soldiers crucified so many people that both sides of well-traveled Roman roads were lined with crosses for miles. For miles. The historian Josephus said, there was a time when a Roman governor ordered in one order, the crucifixion of 2,000 people. The historian Josephus again later recorded a time when the Roman Empire crushed Jerusalem in the year 70, right? When the temple was destroyed, he records that at that time, Emperor Titus ordered the crucifixion of so many people within the area of Jerusalem that for a moment, the Roman soldiers actually ran out of wood to build the crosses. They were experts in crucifying people. They knew what they were doing. And then finally, Roman law mandated the death penalty for a Roman soldier who failed to carry out an execution. So somehow, if you failed in killing someone by crucifixion and they survived and you took them down and you set them free, somehow if they lived, you're going to die as the Roman soldier. So we have all of this evidence that Jesus was executed on a Roman cross. He really died. And he really rose from the dead. What would a skeptic say with all of this? You heard Dr. Conway give a few thoughts, like the twin brother theory. Ooh, wow, that's a lot of faith. I'm just saying, that takes, oh my goodness, I don't have time for that one. But what would a skeptic say about this idea that he really died? Well, a skeptic of this idea might say this. Jesus did not really die. He simply passed out, and he later regained consciousness. It's the swoon theory, right, that Dr. Conway mentioned. The idea that he swooned or passed out. And then later he claimed, I'm alive. And he never really died. Well, my friends, if that were true, then all of these must be true as well. You ready? Jesus had to survive massive blood loss, torture, and a stab wound to his side. The Roman soldiers would have broken his legs on the cross because he was still alive. The Roman soldiers would have failed in their duties and would have been executed. Every single eyewitness of Jesus' death would be mistaken. Every single one would be mistaken and proven wrong. In his weakened state, Jesus would have to unwrap himself from the burial cloths and over 100 pounds of spices. He would have to roll the 2 to 3 ton stone away by himself after being beaten and crucified by himself, a feat that normally took more than one healthy person. Not only that, he would have to fight off or sneak past the 4 or more Roman guards that were there to guard the sealed tomb. Not only that, he would have to walk several miles on the road to Emmaus because he could no longer appear there. He would have to walk there. Why? Because he was still in his earthly body and he would have to do that. He would have to avoid being re-arrested. He would have to avoid being reflogged. He would have to avoid being re-crucified. He would have to avoid all of that. And then finally, if this was true, that he just passed out and he later regained consciousness, finally, if that were true, there would likely be a record or a witness of him dying later on. Spoiler alert, there's not. Do you see the problem with this skeptical idea? In closing, this gentleman, his name is Dr. Alexander Metherell. He is MD, of a doctor, and he's also a research scientist. And this is what Dr. Metherell has to say about this theory that he passed out and then came back to life. This gentleman said this. He said, after suffering that horrible abuse, with all of the catastrophic blood loss and trauma, Jesus would have looked so pitiful to the disciples that the disciples would never have hailed him as a victorious conqueror of death. They would have felt sorry for him and tried to nurse him back to health. They would have pity on this wretched soul that looked like death already. They would not victoriously hail him as the conqueror of death and then tell the world about it and then face death themselves. My friends, we have evidence for the resurrection of Christ. We can do more than just believe blindly. We can look at the evidence and have our faith be strengthened. And the evidence this morning, yes, he really did die on a Roman cross. Scripture states it. Scripture gives evidence. Rome knew what they were doing. He really died. And according to Scripture, he really rose again. And we worship a risen Savior because of that. So my friends, I hope that you're encouraged by this evidence. We have early creedal affirmation. The church affirmed this belief from the very beginning, and they were passionate about it. And we have the evidence that he actually died on a Roman cross. He didn't pass out. He didn't just go into a coma. He actually died. And he actually rose again. So before we sing our last song together, I invite you to turn to a neighbor, and I would love for you to share your answer to this question. How do you react to the fact that Jesus died for you? He didn't just die. He died for you, and he died for me. So when you think about that, how do you react to the fact that Jesus physically died for you and for me? Take a moment and share with the neighbor if you would please, and then we'll worship him with one more song. Okay, go right ahead. Don't be shy. Well, Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, and we are so thankful that we could have a strong faith that is based on the evidence that we know through your word, that we know through history, that we know through archaeology. There's all of this evidence that we can examine, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the fact this morning that the Lord Jesus, the perfect one who came from heaven, actually physically died. He laid down his life so that we might be forgiven and have new life. So thank you for this evidence. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for what it means in our own lives that we have new life and hope and purpose and value because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage my friends as we continue to examine the evidence for the greatest historical event of all time, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that I pray. Amen.